Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us in our advanced program today as we talk about home for Thanksgiving. We're glad that you're with us today, and we're glad that you're with us every day because we have interesting things to discuss together in English and some of your favorite professors and teachers and people will be with us today. Our editor, Linda Ludwig, is with us. How are you, Linda?
I'm great. Thank you.
Linda, here we are in Asia, and we could be home for Thanksgiving. Do you feel a little sad this day before Thanksgiving or not?
Oh, maybe a little nostalgic.
Maybe I made you feel that way. But, you know,
we can have
a good time here. Okay. But, you know, Bill, what about you? We're glad you're with us today. Does your family celebrate Thanksgiving very much in America?
Yeah, we have great Thanksgivings back home. And I always enjoyed it. Unfortunately, we were talking about it before the program, I have not been back home for the holidays, Thanksgiving or Christmas, since I came here to Taipei. And I know Linda mentioned her husband hasn't been home since he's been here also. So I miss it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss it.
But we can celebrate together. We'll get together and have a good time. But Thanksgiving is more of a family time, not just really getting together for a nice dinner. People think the Americans always just want to eat turkey. That's not the point. The point is getting together with your relatives, right?
That's right. It really is a family reunion time. And this is the beginning of the holiday season. So Thanksgiving is important kind of on two fronts, actually.
That's true. And so the story that we have, sometimes it's fun to have a story, and this is not a true story, but it is a story written by one of our interns, Catherine Sukup. And we had her write the story because it's good practice for interns, but also it's a very interesting story, I think.
Yeah, I thought she did a really good job. And it's probably part of it anyway could be truer than we think.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, it really illustrates the holiday very well and gives everybody a good feel for maybe why this traveling is so important, because Thanksgiving is the most traveled weekend in the United States mm-hmm. of the year. It's always a four-day holiday, and so it is the heaviest travel time.
Right, and all the schools are closed. All the universities are closed. All the elementary schools, all schools are closed for this holiday. All businesses are closed on Thanksgiving.
So that's a good time to go home and mm-hmm. meet with your relatives. And sometimes you don't go very far because they live in the next town. But some people go all across the United States and travel long distances just to be with their family on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, parallel would be maybe the Lunar New Year holiday, for mm-hmm. instance, in China, where it's just mayhem in the train right. stations and airports. Likewise, in America, Thanksgiving is that way.
That's one of them. So we have yeah. Thanksgiving and Christmas when people get homesick if they're not there because the family gets together more than what we eat or what we do.
That's true. When I left where my parents lived, home, and moved and started working, it was 700 miles to their home. And so I drove many Thanksgivings back to where they lived just to be there, yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, in the north, in the United States, it's already snowing and icy, and sometimes some of the roads were treacherous.
Well, that's true, right.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving does mean family time for everybody. But the word Thanksgiving is, we really think about the original first Thanksgiving that was started in the United States because of the American pilgrims that had come over from Europe and other countries and with the local people, the national people, the Indian people.
And right. They were thankful.
They were thankful. Yeah.
Right. It was a very, very hard year. A lot of pilgrims, original Europeans died that year, and this is really a harvest festival for them. So
And they had the Indians come
right.
over, and the Indians taught them how to use corn and mm-hmm. wild turkeys, and that's why we eat turkey.
Right, that's part
and
of
it. And they had kind of a good time getting to know each other, and then they said they were thankful to God for getting them through the winter and giving them enough. So at Thanksgiving Day, we usually all go around and say something, what are you thankful for this year? And everybody says something they're thankful for. Do you do that in your family?
Yeah, it's a great time for people to be reminded of things that they are thankful for. And we normally don't think about that in our day-to-day lives. Normally, we're just too busy. Busy, 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 work, work, work. And we don't take time to step back and say, well, I'm really grateful and thankful for these all of these blessings that I have in my life.
Right. And our family does, too.
And then in some countries, we have like our Asian countries. No, we do have our harvest festivals, when especially some of the tribes people and different ones have the harvest festivals. But it's a time to rejoice because we have enough of what we need. But this story, I thought it would be interesting for us to have a story sometimes, not always just facts about technology and things like that, but just to talk about a story. And I hope you'll enjoy reading the story. I think Catherine did a good job in writing it.
She certainly did. I thought it was very well written. I enjoyed reading it.
So let's have Steve start reading it for us, and then we'll discuss the story on page 42.
Home for Thanksgiving. Samuel was not having a good week. The bank had denied him a loan to set up his freelance photography business. Then the brakes on his car failed. On top of that, his grandparents had unexpectedly asked the entire family to come home for a family reunion on Thanksgiving. "I can't afford this," he argued with himself. "I can barely pay for my car, not to mention a holiday plane ticket, while I'm saving for my new business license." But there seemed to be a tone of urgency in his grandfather's letter. He wouldn't have asked Samuel to come if it weren't important. He finally called the airline and booked a flight from New York to Seattle.
Well, the main character in the story, Samuel, was not having a very good week, was he?
No, poor Samuel. He was trying to set up a new business, and he didn't have enough money to set it up, so he needed to get a loan from the bank, and they said, sorry. And the kind of business he wanted to set up was a freelance photography business. And freelance means that you're setting up for business yourself. You don't work for another organization, so you work independently.
So Samuel's a young man, and he needs a little bit of money right now, like a lot of young men do, right?
Yeah, he wants to start this business, do something he enjoys, and so he got turned down by the bank, which would be disappointing enough, but then the brakes on his car failed.
Oh, so poor Samuel.
He had some other problems. He needed money for that, too. But then something else happened on top of that. Besides all these things, why, his grandparents, who lived way out in Seattle, and he was in New York, which is the other end of the country, East Coast to West Coast, is quite far, and he wasn't planning to go there for Thanksgiving because it's too far. But what did they say?
Well, I like this word. They had unexpectedly asked, so they don't usually expect him to be there. It's too far.
Yeah.
The entire family to come home for a family reunion on Thanksgiving.
Well, that kind of sounds nice to me. But, you know, if people live in different areas, you don't expect them to always go back to their home. I mean, it's too far sometimes.
Well, right, because this is a Thanksgiving weekend, even though families like to get together. When you live 3,000 or 4,000 miles apart, then they don't necessarily expect you to be there.
It's not that you're going to plan for a couple of months. You're not going to get a phone call on Tuesday, you know, a couple of days ahead of time, say, oh, come on out. So that's something you need to plan much further in advance.
But they said they wanted everybody, the entire family, to get together. Okay, you know, it seemed kind of strange. His grandparents, not his parents. And he thought, I can't afford this, right? He was having problems with money.
Yeah, and it says there he argued with himself about this. You can just imagine, this is all going on mentally. It's in his mind. Mm-hmm. He's thinking about this. He would like to do it. That's why he's arguing with himself. We're trying to figure out, how do I do this, but I really can't because I don't have enough money.
Right. He had to pay for his car. He had to buy the ticket. And he was trying to open a new business, and he had to get a business license. He had a lot of things to spend his money on, didn't he?
He really was having a bad week.
You know, and at that holiday plane ticket, too, I can guarantee you,
yes.
That's
going to
be paid at a premium if he's only going to be buying it a couple of days ahead of time for Thanksgiving.
Right. You know, both Thanksgiving and New Year's, the airlines, always the ticket prices go up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Christmas news, this whole season now, very, very high.
But he was still thinking about it, though, because the fact was there was this feeling, this tone of urgency. When he got this request, this sounded to me like they really thought they should be there. And he might have thought, well, maybe they're sick and they're not going to live long or something. He could have thought all kinds of things. Why do they want us to come home now? There must be some reason, don't
right.
you think?
Yes, and I think that going back that word, you know, he wasn't expecting this at all. And he knew that his grandfather would not have asked it if there was not an important reason. And I think this is very good phrasing. There seemed to be a tone of urgency. You know, urgency means that you need to have some kind of immediate action regarding the request. And he could sense it as he read his grandfather's letter.
Right. So, he felt that way. He kind of knew that, yeah.
Right.
So
and
he
said in
then?
The next sentence, you know, if Samuel knew his grandfather well enough to know that if it weren't important, he would not have asked him to come.
That's true. Right.
It's a pretty extreme request. He's all the way across the country, and the grandfather, grandparents are asking him to get on a plane and fly there within a couple of days. So, you know, Samuel would think, well, this isn't normal, so there must be a good reason.
Right. Wouldn't you feel the same way, Bill?
I would.
Yeah, I think we would all consider
definitely.
That. So he did finally call the airline, and he's booked the flight all the way from New York, all across the United States, over to Seattle.
And, you know, that's amazing he could even get a ticket, actually. I mean, Bill, you're saying it's a couple of days. It could have been like a week or so
ahead
of time.
Whatever
but
it was
still,
this time,
it's hard to get tickets at this time of year.
Right? Yeah.
So we're going to find out that it's not going to be easy for him to go home all the way, and you can see on the map here, from New York all the way over to Seattle. So let's read on in the story and see what develops.
Upon arrival at the departure gate, his stomach dropped as he read the dreaded words, "Departure canceled." He hurried to the airline service counter and explained his predicament. "I'm sorry, sir, but the only way you can get to Seattle today will be to fly out to Atlanta and catch a connecting flight from there to Seattle," replied the employee. Dismayed, Samuel agreed to pay the additional fee for a flight to Atlanta. As he sped down the concourse to catch his connecting flight, a teenager ran into him, knocking his bag out of his hand. "Watch where you're going!" he shouted. Samuel finally reached the gate just as the aircraft's doors were about to close. He reached for his boarding pass to show it to the gate attendant, only to discover his pocket was empty. He frantically felt his other pockets and then looked in his bag. Not only did he have no boarding pass, but his wallet was gone as well. "This is impossible," he thought. "I just put it in my pocket when..." Then he realized. He had put his wallet in his jacket pocket just as that teenager had bumped into him. That boy was a pickpocket.
So when he finally decided to go, he really got on the way, and he found there were certain difficulties, and they were really severe difficulties.
I know. I think that in the first sentence when it says, his stomach dropped as he read the dreaded words. Very well said, you know, the words you don't want to read.
Right.
Departure canceled.
And you're all ready to go, and your flight's been canceled.
Yeah. Oh.
That's
and
terrible.
His stomach drop is the feeling like you.
What
another way we say
now?
It is like that sinking feeling, you know,
right.
Like, what am I going to do? Oh, no.
Okay, so what did he do, Bill?
Well, what he did was he hurried to the airline's service counter and explained his predicament.
That's a good word, predicament. It's a big problem.
Yeah, predicament is a situation that we find ourselves in, and it's challenging and it's difficult. And when we are in it, sometimes we don't know, how am I going to get out of this situation?
Let me tell you, there were probably other people standing in line at that service counter, because whenever a departure is canceled, everybody said, when's the next one? What can I do? It's not a very fun time for anybody.
And it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, there's a deadline to get home.
Not a fun time for the airline employees.
No, it's not time for anything.
Or anybody.
Well, the man was very polite to them. What did he say, Bill? He
says, well, the person said, I'm sorry, but the only way you can get to Seattle today will be to fly out to Atlanta and catch a connecting flight. I would also maybe say fly through Atlanta, sometimes we might say.
But, you know, he probably had a direct flight. I mean, you know, most people go on a direct flight, New York to Seattle. It's simple. But if they say, well, you got to go to another city and you have to get off and you have to connect a connecting flight, not the same plane, get on another airline, oh, I don't know, that would be discouraging, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be discouraging.
Yeah, not only discouraging, but also it's going to be time-consuming.
Complicated.
Yeah, for our listeners who don't know Atlanta, you'd have to go down south and then go back up north again.
Right. Yeah, he's looking right about at that G. If you look at that map up there, Atlanta's going to be right in the center.
That's a long way out of one's way.
It's long ways, And he didn't want to do that, but he thought, well, I guess I'll have to do it. He was sort of discouraged. And when you're dismayed, you just feel kind of low and discouraged, don't you?
Right. And it's like, well,
confused.
Yeah. And why? But, you know, he's very, very disappointed. So this gives the feeling of being even more than disappointed, kind of shocked and like, really? I really have to do that?
And he'd already bought his ticket, but they said you have to pay extra if you're going to do that. So the airlines wasn't even helping too much.
Well, what might happen is, say this flight is canceled, maybe the departure was canceled, and what they're going to say is, well, you have to wait maybe till tomorrow. But, of course, if you want to make other accommodations, if you want to go outside of the solution offered by the airline, well, you're going to have to pay for that.
And tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so then why go?
Right. Hmm. So he didn't know what to do, but he decided to go ahead and pay the extra money. Maybe he had a credit card, who knows, but he sped down the concourse. And the concourse is just that part of the airport that it's your main floor, isn't it?
Right. It's the you know, hallway that people go from the gate, or he was at the service counter, down to where the airlines are. That it's very, very wide. Takes lots and lots of people go through those concourses.
So he had to hurry, and he dashed down there. He wanted to catch this connecting flight so he could get there. And so he had to really hurry.
So it's going to be crowded. Yeah. All right, here we are at Thanksgiving, a couple days or day or two before Thanksgiving. It's going to be very crowded, dodging people. And then he runs into a teenager. Actually, a teenager runs into him.
Right. And the result of that was his bag that he was carrying, he dropped his carry-on, you know. It fell out of his hand.
He knocked it right out of his hand. Right. He really bumped into him, you could say. Now, we know later that was on purpose, but it sounds like the teenager was just running and happened to bump into him.
I could see how this would happen during this period of time. If you are running through an airport, you're going to run into somebody. There will be collisions.
And so he just shouted out to him, well, watch where you're going. You know, he was sort of upset with him, but he just kept on, and he finally got down to the gate. Oh, he just made it on time.
Yeah, final boarding call. So he's got there just as the doors were about to close. He might have been the last person on that plane.
Right.
And yes, and then his week kept getting worse. Poor
That's
Samuel.
True. Right.
Because he reached for his boarding pass and nothing. It wasn't there. So
now, that would be really frightening.
What
Think
a
of how
shock.
You'd feel. Wouldn't that be terrible?
Yes.
You say,
I've misplaced mine before, and I've been, you know, you're kind of frantic.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because you have no chance of getting on if you don't have that.
That's true. Yeah, he looked all around his pockets and his bag and everything and couldn't find it. Where is it? And what else did he find out, Bill?
Well, he was looking around, and he discovered that his pocket was empty and that, you know, he was looking around in his bag. And then not only did he not have his boarding pass, his wallet was gone as well.
Uh-oh. So somebody did not just bump into him accidentally. It must have been on purpose, right?
Yeah, because the boarding pass isn't really going to be worth any money to anybody that takes it. However, we can get that wallet and get the cash and credit cards.
Right.
I think that's kind of interesting that, he goes on to say that he had just put his wallet.
And so somebody probably saw him put his wallet in his pocket, and then they ran over and pushed him.
So they just grabbed both of them because they were in the same pocket
together. Yeah, they kind of pushed
him
over and just grabbed it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, this is impossible. he thought, I just put it in my pocket when?
Somebody bumped right into him.
And then he realized something.
That boy was a pickpocket, and that is a very bad word, and I'm afraid there's still a lot of pickpockets all over the world. Have you ever had a pickpocket steal anything from you?
I've never been pickpocketed.
I was
but
one time.
But I don't know how I've ever gotten by with not being.
I remember one time in Hong Kong, I was getting on a bus, and just as the bus doors were going to close, and I had not a very big purse in my hand, and before the bus door closed, somebody ran up behind a young kid on the street, and they grabbed the purse, and I was already on the bus, and the doors closed.
Oh.
And it took the purse.
Oh.
And that, that's what pickpockets do. They look for a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always telling you, there's signs in the buses and all over the street, beware of pickpockets. That's true in many countries. Isn't that true, Bill?
Well, actually, Doris, I have had two friends of mine recently have money taken from them. And both of these were in Paris, and not that Paris is the only place this happens.
No, it's all over the world, yeah.
But I mention this so that our listeners are aware of this. You don't want to be naive when you do go traveling around the world. Be aware that both of these incidents happened in heavy tourist spots.
Mm-hmm.
One was at the Eiffel Tower, where people are waiting in line,
right.
And the other one was at the Louvre, where there's
a
hustle and bustle of people. And in both situations, and these people are professionals. They are watching the tourists, and they see who's moving money around, who's got cash here and there. And these people, it's their full-time job. They are professionals. My friends that had their money taken said they didn't know it until hours later. That's how good these people are. So
how
be aware of tourist destinations that they're looking
at. How could they take your money if you didn't know it then?
They're just waiting for you to look away, and within a second or two, they can take the money, whether it's out of a purse that they can get or a pocket, and they're professionals. They're very smooth. You won't even know it.
I had a friend who – this was a few years ago also in France. Maybe it was in Spain, and he said a woman with a baby came up to him. He had like a front pouch on, and his money was in there, and she came up and was saying something to him in French or wherever they were, French, and he didn't understand, and his brother shouted to him, back up away from her, and he looked down, and she had already unzipped his front pouch halfway. She was a pickpocket, and he had no idea because she seemed to be in distress because she was, because of the baby.
Money.
Yes, and she was actually taking his money.
Isn't that terrible? Use a baby to pickpocket.
I know. So you don't know. I think we stereotype what a pickpocket might look like.
They'll take your cell phones and your money,
everything.
And people put things in their backpack, and then they're gone. So you really have to beware of pickpockets, right?
I never carry my backpack on my back if I'm traveling. I always hold it in front of me.
Yeah, on your passport, people have these little passport holders you put around your waist under your clothes.
They're safer. So they say when you're traveling, especially if you're a tourist, don't flash your money around. Don't open up your wallet if you're going to even buy something. You have to do it very, very carefully so people can't see what you've got.
That's true, and you're sitting at the airport and you might be sipping a cold drink or something. You put your purse on the chair beside you.
Never.
Somebody can come up and steal your passport.
Mm. Never.
It's really scary.
Yes.
You just have to hang on to those things.
Yes.
Right. And so, we mentioned some places in Europe, but that can happen
everywhere.
Any country on Earth.
Pickpockets are everywhere. But
right.
A lot of countries will say that. Some poorer countries, India, some of those slums and those places, that they say be careful of the pickpockets.
Yeah, I was in Vietnam not too long ago, North Vietnam, in Hanoi, and they tell you at the hotel, if you go to this one particular market, don't take your purse, don't take your wallet. If you have money, even your pockets are not secure. You have to be so careful.
Hang on to it tight. Yeah.
Hang on to it.
I think I'll just not go to that place. But, this is what happened to him. So here he's all ready to go. He's paid the extra money. He's on his way. And there's no ticket. What's he going to do?
Be dismayed.
Let's find out what happened tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he'll get his smartphone out. Maybe if he, you know, you can get your boarding pass on your smartphone.
That's right.
Also, no, well, I've seen people use that. They might have taken his phone, too.
Yeah. Well, it said they took his boarding pass in his wallet, so he might have that.
Yeah, but then not when the doors are already closing on the plane. It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. They won't
There's
wait
no
for
time
you.
To do anything. You can't go and check and say he bought the ticket. I mean, there's no time.
Right.
And he wants to get there for Thanksgiving because his grandparents want him to. So he's certainly trying, but he's having problems, isn't he?
Well, it's not easy, and now he's got to go through Atlanta instead of having – you can see that map there. We've got this direct flight from New York to Seattle, which that was canceled, so now he's got to go down through Atlanta on this connecting flight.
Actually, this is very interesting, these flying terms, you know, because a direct flight does not necessarily mean you are not going to stop. Mm. Did you know that?
Yeah.
A direct flight, you can make a stop or even two, but you stay on the same plane. It's a non-stop flight that doesn't stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is not only not a direct or a non-stop. It's a connecting one. It's even
it's
worse because you're changing
one.
Planes.
You probably even change airlines.
Yes.
And if you have suitcases, you certainly could lose them easily at that time because they get on the wrong plane. This happens all the time. Oh, well, let's not scare everybody about riding planes. But anyway, this – young man is trying to get there, and we're going to find out more why they wanted him to. So be sure and tune in tomorrow as we finish the story. And thanks for being with us today.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.